From the very first pages of Scripture, God entrusts men with something worth protecting and calls them to guard it. In this episode of Office Talk, Tommy and Barnelli explore what that charge looks like across the Bible, from Adam in the garden to the Levites at the tabernacle to David in his palace at the moment he should have been at war. The theme is consistent and the warning is clear. Every man has a garden. The question is whether he is guarding it. Here is bonus episode 14 of Imprint Out Loud.
Imprint Out Loud is the audio podcast of Imprint, which exists to leave a healthy mark on the church in Africa through trustworthy biblical resources and training of local church leaders.
Everyone, welcome to Office Talk. This is a time where Barnelli and I shoot the breeze on some topics that he feels is worth talking about. Welcome, Barnelli.
Thank you very much, Tommy. Glad to be here.
Good. B, I wrote an article.
Yeah.
Oh, no, hang on. I shared with you a thought.
Yeah.
That you said, that must be an article. And then later on, you said, that must be a book. But anyway.
Yeah.
Let's stop there. What intrigued you about my thought?
So, yeah, I mean, the funny thing about it was you had your title like 2 minutes after just sharing the whole thing, which in my experience, titles usually come at the end. And I think it was a brilliant title, Guard Your Garden. And as you mentioned it, we started speaking about how we see this theme appear in almost every book of the Bible. Mm. And so my thing was like, wow, let's just jot these thoughts, because I hadn't heard them. And so I was like, hey, jot these thoughts down and maybe we could have an article.
Mm. Okay, now, but before people get too high a view of me,
yeah.
My thoughts were provoked by a book that Alex Duke wrote, From Eden to Egypt, which is an excellent book.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a biblical theology of Genesis.
Yeah.
And he made the comment, and that's what sparked my idea. He made the comment that Adam was passive, and we all know that.
Yeah.
But he made this comment that he argued that if Adam was faithful to his God-given task of taking dominion,
yeah,
the snake, or the devil,
yeah,
should never have even made it into the tree to deceive Eve.
Yeah.
He was not guarding the garden. Hence my, well, he didn't say that. That was my,
yeah,
whatever, distract, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so if he was guarding his garden,
mm-hmm,
Satan wouldn't have made it in.
Yeah.
And Eve wouldn't have been deceived. Yeah. Now, we all know God ordained and his sovereignty. But that's the idea that you need to guard your garden.
So help us understand then, Tommy, what you mean by guarding your garden.
So I think if you look at the wider leadership role that God has given man, like not mankind, but man, the husband, the father, church leader, just men in general, to guard their gardens or the sphere that they were appointed of. I was thinking of Numbers 1, Numbers 3, Numbers 3:10, 3:38, where Moses actually writes here, when the tabernacle is set out, the Levite shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is to be pitched, the Levite shall set it up. And if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death.
Mm.
So guarding the tabernacle, guarding the tent. 3:10, and you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall guard their priesthood. But if any outsider comes near, he shall be put to death. And the same goes for 38, verse 38 in Numbers. And I just started thinking like, okay, if God puts leaders in position, in their positions, to guard what is precious to God,
mm-hmm,
even so much as they'll be put to death.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty strong instruction.
Yeah.
And I think that was the similar instruction if you think biblically or biblical theologically.
Yeah.
God said to Adam, I appoint you,
mm-hmm,
be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion, which means it's like a wrestling move. You clinch someone, right?
Take ownership of it, you know?
Yes. And by taking ownership, it means protect.
Yes.
Even to death.
Yeah. Do not let any foreigners do as they will on your property kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Take charge of it. And only those who you let and who you allow to be on it will be on it.
Yeah.
And it seems like in this case, he allowed an enemy to intrude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got this, the picture of David. he was the outsider. Where he looked into Bathsheba and Uriah, David, who was supposed to be, well, he was the king, but he was supposed to go out and guard his garden, the kingdom, which he didn't. He stayed behind in the palace. What happened? He intruded into someone else's garden.
Yeah.
But then he killed the guy, the garden owner. And that's what Samuel told him. He's like, you're the one that that took this lamb. So again, being passive, like Adam, David was passive in not going and fulfilling his God-given obligations in fighting.
Yeah.
He intruded into a garden that he shouldn't have.
Yeah. So here's the question then, Tommy, because maybe I could just summarize what is being said so far. Is God gives us the command to take dominion of the things that he's given us, to take stewardship and ownership of them. With Adam, it was the garden. With the Levites, it was the tabernacle. And we get those themes. If you look carefully throughout scripture, you get a lot of those take ownership of this, protect this, do not let this go to waste kind of thing. And so we get that whole thing right now. And then we get it even in the story of David. So my question, I don't know if you've thought about this, but you'll let me know. David's garden was the kingdom. He had to take care of that, right? And when the nation went out to fight, which he should have been there as well as part of guarding his garden, but he let that go. You know, he let that go and stayed behind. And one of his army men was sent out to go guard David's garden. And his garden was left unguarded. Whose sin is it there? Is it Uriah?
Yeah.
Was Uriah not guarding his garden? What could he have done? What should he have done?
That's a good question. No, I think he didn't expect the intruder to come in. Just like in Acts 20, where Paul says, from you guys, the elders, wolves would come in.
Yeah.
Preaching through Jude, there's even people crept in unnoticed.
Unnoticed, yeah.
So I don't think that Uriah was passive there. He was obedient, but he was stabbed in the back by his king.
Yeah, who should have been the one. So if everyone was doing what they should have been doing, Uriah would not have had to worry about an intruder.
Exactly, exactly. And the same in the church. So there are elders. We need to rip out the wolf's eyes.
Yeah.
But we also have people in the church that needs to look after their garden.
Yes.
So husband, look after your wife and your children.
Yeah.
Young men, look after yourselves, because as you prepare to protect your garden, you're not going to all of a sudden, oh, here's a garden, let me protect it.
Yeah.
You need to prepare yourself to protect, and that's it. Yes. And go into that later. But I think that is what God designed from the beginning, that Uriah didn't have to worry about his wife.
Yeah.
If everybody just did their job and weren't passive or not fulfilling their instructional or the God instruction of do this, guard your garden.
So with that, I mean, so that's because the title itself for me is very intriguing. Guard your garden. What we've spoken about now is the command to guard, to protect what has been given to you. So in the other words in the title, you have your garden. And is there a sense in which the reason why we don't guard our garden is because we don't think it's ours? I mean, your garden. So there's like, for instance, take the church, for instance, you know, I as a member must guard that garden. But I often, you know, sometimes don't really think of it as mine to guard. What do you say about that?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I say that's the beauty of the body that God created in the church. So yes, they are elders, but Ephesians 4:12, we equip the saints for the ministry.
Yeah.
And part of that ministry is guarding the garden.
Yeah.
Discipling, discipline, helping one another grow in Christ. Yeah, you guys have more knowledge of conversations that goes on than we do, because you've seen it. I join your group of friends and everybody keeps quiet. It's like, here's the elder, let's get out. Anyway. So you have those conversations.
Yeah.
And God has placed all of that in one body. Like, yes, sure, the liver might feel the poison of the snake first, or the skin would feel it when the fangs go in. But the nerves might be damaged before the eyes get damaged. But then the red blood cells will go after that first.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily, well, the elders, it's their job.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to identify wolves and we're going to rip out their eyes. But we equip you guys with the word to do the same.
Yeah.
And how do we guard the garden? is by keeping each other accountable, give towards the church so that you can pay the pastor, so that he can feed your soul, so that you can take care of the garden, support one another, provoke one another to good works, accountable in saying, hey, I didn't see you last Sunday. Why didn't you come? I want you to be washed by the word. I don't want you to be an intruder.
Yeah,
so look out for intruders or don't become an intruder like David.
Yeah. So there's an interesting thing that you did bring up as we were discussing this idea is there's a sense in which we should be tireless in doing so.
Mm.
You know, tireless in, and you use the image of patrolling. It's like every morning, if Adam were waking up every morning and saying, hey, I'm going to do the first of my 7 rounds around the garden, just like looking to see everything is in order and is in place. And I guess this is speculative in a sense, but you can see how it applies to even a person like David, where he just thought, hey, I've always gone out to fight with my nation. I mean, this is just once.
Yeah.
I could stay behind. And that is what caused everything else. So there's a tirelessness in doing what you should be doing.
And again, bro, that's the beauty of the church. We have one another, stir one another up to good works, Hebrews says. That is, so if you're tired... Moses, where the guys held up his arms, he couldn't do it by himself. Same thing here, that you need to tirelessly go at it. Do your patrols.
Mm.
Let's focus on that. What is a patrol? Well, do your reading. Pray. Sort yourself out.
Mm.
Exercise your own spiritual muscles so that when you do get to the footprints and saying, ooh, here's an intruder.
Yes.
You are bold enough to stand up against them.
Yeah.
So one, you need to take care of yourself. So if you play 5-6 hours of computer games or TV games, your muscles are going to be weak.
And the snake is going to enter your garden and you're going to...
It's destroyed.
Yeah.
And you can't now decide, well, I'll do that while I'm single.
Mm.
I'll protect my garden when my wife comes along.
Mm.
You need to do the hard work now.
Mm-hmm.
Doug shared a quote. I can't remember who said it, but he said you need to sweat in peacetime so that you bleed less in wartime.
Mm.
And that's exactly this as well. We need to do the rounds, inspect the garden, which is the church, your house, your own room. If you're single, do the hard patrolling work,
because
then you'll pick up the footprints. Oh, yeah, someone, yeah. Blow the whistle, and then we get after that.
Yeah.
And then the hard, that's tiresome. It can be even boring.
Yeah.
But put away all this worldly things that attracts your or distracts your attention from actually patrolling, looking after your garden. So those are the members, and it's tiresome sometimes, but that's why we do it together.
So there's, and I'm throwing some of these questions, a lot of these questions you actually haven't encountered, but I'm actually learning a lot from even this discussion as we talk. But we've spoken about the God part of it, where it's like, that's a command, you need to guard, and the your part, which is take ownership, right, of what's been given to you. But the garden aspect of it is also an interesting part for me. Like what has been given to us, I mean, look, Adam was given a garden.
Mm.
It was his dwelling place with God, and he had to protect that. I like the word being used even for family, even for church. What is, if you can understand what I'm saying, what is garden about one's family? What is garden like about one's church?
Hmm. That's a good question. I think garden like, let's start with yourself.
Mm.
Is that patrolling, right? Guarding my own muscles and looking after them so that I'm equipped. Okay, so that's my immediate garden. Yourself.
Yes.
Look after yourself.
Mm.
Your mind. I think that's a massive garden.
Yeah, it is.
And your heart. Look after your garden there. And if that garden is protected, you'll extend a little bit to wife and children.
Mm.
Those that knows me, I always speak like this, but I don't mean it always. But if you touch my wife, I would gladly disqualify myself in going monkey on you. That's guarding my wife physically.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to guard her spiritually, emotionally. So I'm not always that great about that, but I need to wash her with the word.
Yeah.
That's guarding my garden, my wife's. That's my garden.
Yeah.
Emotionally, you should not abuse your wife.
Yeah.
Break her down.
Yeah.
You need to build her up. You need to love her. You need to cherish her physically, emotionally, spiritually.
Mm.
So that's guarding your garden.
Mm.
Kids wise, train them in the way they should go.
Yeah.
Proverbs. That's guarding my garden, my little seedlings, if you want to call them that way. But also, what do you allow into your house? games, movies, series, cell phones, screens, all those kind of things. What do you allow into your garden, like the snake, that distracts them from what they should be focusing on? That's a practical way of guarding your garden. Wash them with a word. Help your daughters choose good, healthy, strong men that would guard them. Because now you're giving your little piece of your garden away to be guarded by some other punk that comes in and tries to win her heart. So help her to choose a good garden protector or gardener. Call him a gardener. My boys are future gardeners and protectors. I need to help them be prepared to guard their garden one day. Okay, so that's family. I think church-wise, that's exactly what it is as well. We are members and we allow members in and we vote members out. That's a guarding of the garden.
Yeah.
Of like, I need to get to know that person. They applied for membership. I don't know whether they a snake. Patrolling the garden means getting to know them, saying, what's your testimony? Where are you coming from? What do you believe on these topics? Yes, I'll vote yes. Get him in.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll let a snake come in.
Yeah.
So that's membership. Secondly, if someone creeps in, you need to guard the garden by confronting certain sins in the church. That's guarding your garden. Theology, sin, that you need to deal with that. Thirdly, you need to keep your pastors accountable. What they preach is the truth. Go to the word. Don't just accept what they say. Let them preach from the truth and guard your garden as a whole. Electing elders, deacons, those are all men that will lead or serve you, and you need to make the right decisions with regards to that. So guard your garden, know your Bible, and then serve the body. I think watering, helping people to grow, discipling, that's all gardening your garden. Yeah.
That's a very great response, bro. And ever since around about the age of 10, when we were called to join a gardener's club, and I saw how hard it was to actually keep a garden because everything conspires to destroy it. I just said, gardening is not for me. But from what you're saying is, brother, you are a gardener. You can't run from it. You know, you'll just have to look around and see where your sphere of influence is, what your garden is, what you've been given to steward, and just work hard at it. You know, there's no other way around it.
But adding to it, yes, it's hard, bro. But if you see it from a God's perspective of, man, God entrusted this to me. It's a joy to do this. It's not this, oh my goodness. Sometimes it is. But it's more like I get to do this for the King and his garden. So we little gardeners in the supreme gardener's garden.
Great gardener.
So there's just so many scripture verses. I mean, yeah, that points to protect God. It's a privilege to do this. We have the Spirit of God to do it. So if you come at from that angle of, man, I get to
guard this garden,
get my hands dirty. I get to rake and mow and water and plant and dig and have fun. But we have to do it, If you're a man,
you just have to do it, garden. And to the glory of God,
Amen.
So I was not overestimating the idea when I said it is a book idea, so
yeah
just consider that, brother.
I'll after my first book I'll maybe consider this one.
All right,
anyway, it was great hanging with you, B.
Thank you very much for thanks bro. Me, bro,
until next time.
Help further the work of Imprint by sharing this podcast with someone who might benefit from it, or by rating and reviewing it in your favorite podcast catcher. Visit imprinton.org for more resources and information about the ministry.